Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio features the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell talking about matters of community interest. And today our guest is Mrs. Martha Benson, a registered nurse, a former director of NAMI, a member of the Journey Church, and just a good person that I happen to know that loves the Lord and loves Slidell. So welcome, Martha. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bob. Very glad to be here.
You know, you've been very helpful in the past, helping us to understand mental health issues. And we've talked about suicide prevention and those things in the past. And we want to continue. You have a wealth of knowledge for us and very practical and in good ways. We want to kind of continue the same thoughts we've done before. One of the programs that's recently come to mind is a program that was pretty widespread here in Slidell a couple of years ago called Know Your Child. I think you were one of the principal movers behind that. And as I understand the program, it still has a lot of good information for today. So, Martha, if you'd be willing, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Know Your Child.
Well, that would be great. Thank you. Yeah, Know Your Child was an initiative of the Junior Auxiliary of Slidell, and it involved a lot of really great community leaders, St. Tammany Parish specifically, and in this end of the parish. And the basic idea was, or the hope was, to get back to the origins of where some of these issues might be for our young people, to understand what kind of risk factors there were, what kind of things that could put our youth at risk for mental health issues, maybe even put them at risk for suicide. And so developed some information to share, and there were also presentations to different community in different community settings. Was very helpful, a lot of good information, a lot of good support on that from the community as a whole.
So the idea is not to label somebody after they've maybe had a failed suicide attempt, but to move way, way, way back in the program to try to identify these things ahead of time. Is that kind of where we're going?
To kind of back up to maybe the origins of the issue and see if we can identify some early warning signs of that may put our youth, or signal that our youth and young people are at risk for issues, instead of maybe responding to a crisis situation. Let's see if we can avoid even getting to that crisis situation.
Great. That sounds like a wise and helpful approach to a very difficult issue. Can you share some of the thoughts that were going on at the time? What is this Know Your Child thing all about? And let me ask you this. Sure. Why wouldn't we know our child? Let's just start that. I mean, we're with them every day. We see them every day. Why wouldn't we know them in the first place?
Well, how easy is it to know your teenager? You know, how easy is it for us to know every aspect of the lives of our young people when we're so busy as parents and as heads of our household, and our kids are, and our youth are involved in so many things? You know, we used to talk about the wolf that's at the door coming after our children. Well, nowadays with technology, you know, social media is right there in their hands. Children and young people are being influenced in so many ways, sometimes that parents aren't even aware of.
So we may know our child, but we don't know what are red flags. It's more to say, I know my child. My child does that. It's perfectly normal for my child. But in fact, it may be a red flag.
Right. Is this typical teenage angst, or is this a sign that there's something going on? There's something deeper going on.
Okay. All right. Well, can you help us to see what some of these red flags might look like and why they're red flags?
Sure. One thing, or some of the things that led us to be concerned, are some statistics, and I'll just kind of give you some basic statistics on some of the issues. And in talking about mental health conditions in general, 1 in 10 children and 1 in 5 teens will experience some sort of mental health condition that's severe enough to require treatment. And the problem is often less than half of those young people actually receive the treatment that they need, effective treatment.
So at 20% of the teenagers, 1 in 5, face a diagnosable mental health condition, mm-hmm. but not that many are treated.
Right, right. Less than half of those will actually get their treatment. As a matter of fact, most lifetime experiences of mental illness, the onset is at around 14 years old. For clinical anxiety, a lot of cases, the initial onset of that clinical anxiety is 11 years old, as young as 11 years old. We're
really?
Talking about our children yeah. here. And, you know, so what does that mean? What does that look like? Our youth are dealing with a lot of stress, a lot of situations, and sometimes it will put them at risk of some dangerous choices in how to deal with those stresses, and unfortunately suicide or thinking about suicide or behaviors, it's a real issue. It's a real problem. I mean, in St. Tammany Parish alone, so far this year, as of the end of August, there have been 37 completed suicides.
Wow.
And three of those were young people who were teenagers, who were 19 years old or younger. Three of them already this year. And that, as I said, that's just since the end of August. And those are documented completed suicides. There's a lot of situations where the attempt was not completed. So, you know, keep that in mind. Our youth are struggling. Our children are struggling. So, with those kind of statistics in mind, the idea was, and the idea still is, hey, what can we do about this? Let's, you know, one child is too many. Let's see what we can do about it. So the question then is, why are our children at risk? What kind of things are our children dealing with it that are giving us those kind of numbers? Well, and it's a lot of things. The age of technology, you know, this is the generation of technology. They're globally connected, but individually, they're isolated and alone. You know, they may be superstars on Twitter and on social media, but they don't have the first friend at school and at home, and it's very isolating. There's a lot of stresses in school and expectations and demands on children and youth in school and for performance and so on, and those are issues too. Peer pressure is a very real thing, whether you're talking about social media, you hear about cyberbullying all the time.
Yeah,
it's a very real thing. You know, a young person, their image is everything. You know, when we were kids, out on the playground, having friends, not having friends, that was the big deal. And now, with social media, that is the playground. That is where your personality, your value is made or broken. You know?
So the isolation, not having a relationship with somebody, we'll call them their peers,
mm-hmm.
is this one of the primary signs that we'd be concerned about in our children? Because people say, well, my child's a loner. He likes to read. He likes to to do this. He does, he likes his screen time. Is this something that we should be concerned about?
Well, it definitely is. Some, personalities are different. Some young people, they are, as you say, they're loners. They do kind of like to keep to themselves. But what are they doing while they're by themselves? Are they spending hour after hour after hour on their computer playing video games? Or are they reading? Or are they doing other things that are more productive and more healthy?
Well, why would reading printed text be superior? I mean, that's an alone subject. You sit there, you get involved in a book and really get caught up in it.
Right.
Why is that different than social media?
A lot of reasons. Why is social media so tempting to spend so much time doing? Which of those things can a parent have more control over? I can see the books that my kids are reading. I can see, with my eyes and with my experience what they're doing, but unfortunately, you may not always be aware of what your children are looking at and using and who they're actually connecting with online. I mean, for a lot of young people and a lot of adults, let's be honest, that phone, that smartphone is, it's like a toy. It's fun. It opens a world, a plethora of information and entertainment. But sometimes on the other side of that exchange, there's somebody who is using it as a tool, and they don't have our child's best interest at heart. One thing that we learned through that initiative a few years ago is, there are technologies there that are our children are exposed to, that are available to our children might not even be aware of. Did you know that there are actually apps that a child can put on their phone that are specifically designed to keep your parents from knowing what apps you're using?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. There are apps that will hide the apps that are on your phone. A lot of times parents will do a phone check. Hey, let me see what you've been doing. Let me look at the history, who you've been talking to. Let me look at the sites you've been visiting and your activity and so on. Let me see what apps you have on your phone. And there are actual apps that will hide all of that. And they're specifically designed so that your parents don't know what you're looking at.
So it really puts the kids, I guess, that are disadvantaged and causes even more separation between the parents. I mean, to be
right.
alone in the world by yourself at 14
right.
has got to be a scary thing.
Right.
There are people who are 40 alone in the world, and it would be scary for
right.
them.
Right. Remember,
particularly for a 14-year-old, it must be awful.
Right. Well, but what young people may not know what they don't know. I mean, when we were coming up, you remember, you know, that scope of influence. Your parents were your primary influence. Your family was your primary influence. That's not the case anymore. The world is influencing our young people sometimes more than we are. And that can be a great thing, but sometimes it can be a detrimental thing because not everything that comes through social media is true. Not everything is accurate. Not everything is healthy. And not everything is designed to be helpful. Sometimes it's designed to be hurtful.
Well, that too, and it's not age appropriate. If I approve of a book my child is reading, Robinson Crusoe,
right.
I may approve of that text because it's age appropriate.
Right.
But there's no limit on what's age appropriate on the Internet. I mean, I've stumbled onto things on my telephone that I wish I had not seen.
Right. And as adults, that's jarring for us. What is a young person supposed to do with that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're very careful to make sure that we don't let anyone under the age of 15 or 16 drive an automobile because it could be dangerous if they're not prepared. And yet we are allowing our children to be exposed to and have the responsibility to govern themselves with the world in their hands. Are they prepared? Are they ready? I don't know.
The thought goes back to me of Adam and Eve. The tree that they ate of was the knowledge of good and evil. And the problem with that was they weren't prepared to have the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm not sure we adults have much better handle on it, but I think for maybe a 14 or 15-year-old, how do they know what's good? How do they know
right.
what's evil? How do they know what's threatening?
Right.
How do they know which is helpful?
Right. If Adam and Eve, as mature adults such as they were, with God and being in the presence of God, they thought they could handle it, but they couldn't. What kind of chance does a 14-year-old have, or a 12-year-old, or a 10-year-old
right.
have?
So we really want to be engaged with our children. We want to be a part of their world. Is that a good
That's
way
right.
to say it, or do we want them to drop their world and to be a part of ours? What?
Well, I think one of the greatest benefits is making sure that we as parents, the ones who are responsible for our youth, have the greatest influence
okay.
in our child's life.
Good. Well said.
And
well
some
said.
Things to watch for, some things to suggest, and some points of wisdom to think about are, if my child isn't able to handle the responsibility of paying for the phone, then they shouldn't have full authority over what gets done with that phone.
That would change the world, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? How about that? But some things to watch out for when it comes to using social media, using their phone, internet, and so on, is how does your child behave with it? Is your young person very secretive? Mom, don't check my phone. Why are you always checking my phone? If not wanting you to see what they're doing, that's a red flag, because we only hide what we don't want people to see, right?
Right.
Sometimes maybe approaching your young person at the very beginning, I'm going to give you a phone, and this phone, this is the reason that you'll use this phone, and this is how I'm going to make sure that you are safe when you use your phone. You know, these are the things that you can do, and these are the things that I don't want you to do because it's not safe for you to do, and these are the consequences if I find out that you've been doing things that I don't want you to do or that aren't safe. And on the other side of that, hey son or daughter, if you encounter, you know, this thing or that thing while you're using the phone, I need you to tell me about it so we can handle it together. You know, there are a lot of times, like I'd mentioned before, our youth may have the most innocent of intentions in using their phone, but the person on the other end of that exchange may not. There was something we learned a few years ago when we were initiating this project, that 1 in 6 teens have been contacted online by somebody that they did not know in a way that made them feel scared or uncomfortable. People are reaching out to our youth for reasons that are sinister and less than honorable. So letting our child know first that we're going to help them to decipher what's good and what isn't, and also saying that we trust you to come to us. You can come to us if you're exposed to anything that makes you feel uncomfortable. We want this to be a positive experience for you. Let's work together on that. So setting some boundaries, enforcing those boundaries, and making sure that our children have a realistic view of what this tool really is for, I think you're setting yourself up for a better experience, a healthier, safer experience in that way. But that also lays the responsibility where it belongs, and that's with us as parents and as caregivers. I will be overseeing how this tool is being used. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And, you know, I've heard people say, I just don't know what to do with my teenager. I just don't know what to do with their behavior, with their friends. They're at a loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're giving them some red flags today and said lack of friends, over-involvement with screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things are good things to look into. But beyond that, I'm not sure that all parents, maybe because they didn't have it when they were children, that the parents don't really know. I don't know what to do with this kid. What message do we have for them?
And that's true. Well, teenage years are difficult, and they are challenging, but we can get through them. Some of the things that we came up with in this initiative, first and foremost, as parents, be aware and follow your instincts. We often will have a feeling or something will give us cause to be concerned. Follow that, okay, and do something about it. Don't dismiss it. That's first and foremost. You have the gift of parenthood and the skills of parenthood for a reason, so use them. Stay calm, okay? Try to approach the situation without getting overly emotional. Try to keep your emotions in check when you're reaching out to your youth, your teenager, or your middle schooler, 9, 10, 11 years old. They're being exposed to some stresses that maybe we never had to deal with, let alone at those young ages. So one-on-one time, when you can get it, is not just incredibly valuable, but it's critical. Look for opportunities. Make opportunities. Make time to spend with your child, with your teenager. Openly discuss your concerns with your child. And again, it's important to keep your emotions in check. Being a teenager, we're very emotional. It's very easy for that to escalate. So as parents, keep your emotions in check and just openly and honestly say, hey, I've noticed some things that are concerning. You know, I love you. You know, I want to make sure that you're safe and you have what you need, and do my job as a parent and to protect you. These are some things that I've noticed. Maybe I've noticed that you're spending an awful lot of time on your phone. you're spending a lot of time on playing these video games, and I notice you don't maybe spend a lot of time with your friends like you used to. You know, things like that. Specifically say, this is what I'm noticing, what's going on. And then I think one of the best things that a parent can do for their teen or their young person is to listen. You've heard this before, you know, the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. By the time your child gets to the teenage years, it's time for us to start listening. You know, we did all that raising, we did all that educating and so on. So let's listen. Let's give our teens an opportunity to talk out what they've learned and to process it out, reason it out, and think about it. And for them to do that, they need someone to listen who truly has their best interests at heart, who truly has a sincere love and concern for them. So let's listen. Let's listen to our young people. And here's the thing. It's been my experience. I have three adult children, so we went through the youth and the teen years, and it's been our experience that my husband and I, that, you know, you ask a child, hey, what's going on? Nothing. How are you feeling? I'm fine. How was your day? It was good. You know, you get those one-word answers and on. So here's the thing. If you see things that are concerning you, keep asking. You know, I've had, I've worked with people, adults and young people dealing with mental illness a long time. And what I've heard time and again is, one person comes to mind in particular. He says, I just wish somebody would have asked me and then asked me again, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, the first time you ask your child what's going on, they may not know how to explain it to you. So keep asking. Okay. I don't mean badger. I don't mean nag. But say, you know, hey, let's talk. I'm here. I want to listen. I want to understand what you're going through. And I want you to know you're not alone. I'm here. Let's work it out.
So to be engaged with your children at every level.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
To be engaged, I'll just say, as an adult
right. And
a parent,
right.
which is different than a monitor or a prison guard. You know,
right.
they just command a certain behavior.
Right.
But
right.
We're not as parents. I don't hear you saying anything that says we're to command an adult behavior, but rather to listen to their concerns and help them to work through it.
Right. Remember what teenage years are for. Are our children supposed to be children forever? No. Teenage years is a time and development when children, our kids are supposed to pull away from us a little bit. They are supposed to exercise some independence a little bit, aren't they? That's the point of it. In order for them to grow as they should and exercise that independence and pull away a little bit, we do have to let go a little bit, don't we? Your job or my job as a parent went from hands-on and being in control of my child's life to becoming an influence in my child's life. You know, we've laid that groundwork when they were young, and now it's up to them to see what they're going to do with it, with everything that we've taught them. And yet, we can still be the primary influence in the decisions and the choices that they make. And isn't that the way it should be, that the parents should be the primary influence and so on? But we need to do that with wisdom and understanding the age that we're living in, that our children are and our youth are being bombarded with information. And as I mentioned before, not all of it is entirely factual, and not all of it is entirely helpful and healthy.
I think you just said something very profound, that if I look through life and say, well, when I grow up, I want to be a policeman. When I grow up, I want to be the mayor. You know, we can look and we can have these things when I grow up. But you can't say, when I grow up, I want to be a teenager. It's a transition time. Before that, we give them the best education we can by our words and our actions.
Exactly.
And then there comes a time when they start trying to apply that to their life, and they're testing. They're not testing the validity necessarily, but seeing how it works.
Yeah. Testing the application of it.
So, I mean, to me, it was very profound that the teenage years are a transition time. They're a passing through time. not necessarily free of all bumps and scratches.
Right.
He'll make some mistakes. Hopefully they're fixable mistakes.
Right.
But the object is that when they pass through that time, then they will be contributing members of society.
Right.
And that's just an intriguing thought, rather than saying, well, you're a teenager and the contest is on.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're a teenager. You're going from immature to mature, and I want to help you to get there.
That's right. So we need to be parents of teenagers, right? We need to be, just as our children are growing and going through these phases as the child, we need to go through the phases as parents. You know, we need to be that kind of parent.
And I would imagine that sometimes we as parents would legitimately get to the end of our rope, the end of our own understanding, the end of our ability to deal with it, the end of the amount of time that we have to put into it. It would seem at some point in time that each parent, particularly the first child to go through being a teenager, they might need a little bit of help too,
right,
to help them to clarify their own thinking.
And that's true. And good heavens, consider the parents' perspective on this thing. There are a lot of things pulling at our attention, a lot of things that we have to do. You know, you have to work for a living, you have to be a provider, you have to, all the things that adults have to deal with. I mean, we welcome help and support. Of course it's convenient that your child has a cell phone. You know, of course it's convenient that your child can take on some things because it helps, you know, you to do your job as a parent. So I would recommend that we just be really careful with that. Let's do that wisely. It's a relief to not have to worry about what my child is doing because I know he's over, you know, he's playing on his phone for hours and or something like that. I need a break. I get that. I assure you, I get that. I understand that. But let's be careful with that approach. Let's be wise about it. Let's be prayerful about it.
Wise words. This is a great wisdom. Well, Martha, it's been wonderful talking with you. I think you've given us a tremendous amount of information.
Oh, good.
And I really appreciate it because you explain things in a way that people like me can understand and hopefully apply in our lives and to help us to apply it in the lives of those that we encounter along the way.
Right.
And I just want to thank you for your time. I thank you for the diligence that you've poured into the mental health field. I know a lot of people are better because they knew Martha Benson.
Oh, that is so nice of you. I can tell you this, Martha Benson is better for all the amazing people that I've had the great honor and privilege of knowing. I love spending time with superheroes.
Amen.
And that's what I get to do.
Amen. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Thank you, Martha. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. Send us a text. Leave a message. We want to hear from you. Go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible gift to support the station. We appreciate your financial support. It just helps us to stay on the air. Again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voice of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.